Amen. That's good. That's good. There is only one way. And by the way, if you haven't found that way, there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the way of theirs is the end of his death. But there's straight is a way and narrow is straight is a gate and narrow is a way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And wide is a gate and broad is a way that leads to destruction. Many there are that go in thereat, and don't be one of those. Let's take our Bibles, if we will, please. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I was doing a series of messages, and I hate to beat a dead horse here, but I never quite got finished. We were talking about the answer for a violent society, and then we had a Bible conference, and then we had Palm Sunday, and then we had Easter, and so here I am, and I want to quickly give the last part of this. This is some things that we need to do and can do to make a difference. If you're like me, we've all made mistakes in the past. Our society has made mistakes. We've made personal mistakes. We've made mistakes as family. We've made mistakes as spouses. We've made mistakes as parents. And that's all there. And thank God that God is all under the blood. But the biggest sin is for us not to make a difference, not to change what we're doing and make a difference where we are. We have a little sign. I can't remember exactly how it goes. I saw this little... We picked it up over at Lancaster one day. Jan and I were over there, and have it in the school room over here in the school. And it said, we cannot change how we have begun, but we can change how we're going to end. We can't go back and change history, but we don't have to repeat it. And so I would encourage you. There's some things here that, and the fact is, there are some things that, as a culture, we haven't done correctly. Maybe as a person, maybe as a Christian, maybe as a parent. I don't know what it may be, but the fact is, sometimes we just need to swallow our pride and go back and do some things right. And we can start right where we are and change the course of things if we're willing to. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 21. It's in the middle of some things there, but talking about society, if you will. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Our society knows where God is. A lot of folks don't want to admit that, because if we admit that we know that there's a God, then we're going to admit that we have to be accountable to God. And the fact is, we don't like to recognize our authority, because if we recognize authority, then all of a sudden we have to realize it has force within our life. So it says, well, we decided that mankind decided we wanted to not glorify God, not to give him the proper credit for who he is. We're not even thankful for what God has done, for the breath we breathe, but it says we became vain, empty in our imaginations, foolish heart was darkened. Jump down to verse 29. Goes through a bunch of things there, but let me go to verse 29. He says, these people were being filled, they were filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I think that's one of the things that boggles my mind the most about all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world, is the fact these people know what they're doing. It's like that's the way to do it now. And that's the good way of doing it. Their mind has become so twisted. Sin has become such a full part of who they are. That's the way they live. And it's a shame that we have to live that way. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We all have sin. Sin just shows itself in different ways in different people. Depends on what kind of buttons have been pushed. We all have buttons that sets us off. You know that? Now, we shouldn't. We need to disconnect the wires of those buttons. We do that by yielding to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit be the one that guides. But we need to just disconnect, be dead to it. Die daily. We need to disconnect those wires. But the fact is, we all have those things. We're not careful. They'll push that thing, and somehow that spark will jump that wire, and it still sends us off. Matthew 5:18 says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. I don't want to get on this rabbit trail here, but look what it says in Matthew 15, verse 19. It says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. The chances are all of us have probably sometime had an evil thought. Now, we may not be murderers, that's the next one, but look at how it says adulteries, fornications, thefts. Take something that's not yours, like cleaning out the supply cabinet at work. You know, well, I got too much change at the grocery counter and kept it. See, we don't want to put that in the same category, the same list as murders, but the Bible says it's sin. False witness, leading somebody to believe something that's not true. Blasphemies, that says I know more than God does. It says these things are what defile a man. Within the heart of man is all kinds of deceit. And that's the problem with our society. And we have somehow decided that we can have moral society without God. We can decide not to glorify God as God. We can decide He's not what we all claim. It's just a figment of our imagination. It's just some kind of foolish Mother Goose story that people have thought up just to keep all their kids to do right and go straight. And so we're older, we're wiser, we're more illuminated, and so we know better. And so this is where it has gotten us. Let's pray, and I'm going to finish up here, a cure for a violent society. A cure. It's going to take some time, but it is a workable cure. Father, we thank you again for your word. And Lord, I don't want to belabor this, but I do want to finish this up quickly here this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll give us your wisdom, your understanding, your guidance. May your Holy Spirit move. May we accept what we hear because it comes from your word. And I know society is against a lot of the things I'm going to say here this morning, but they're against you anyway. If they were of you, they would love you, but they're not of you because that's why they hate you. And the fact is, society is going to hate us because if they hate you, they're going to hate us if we stand where you stand. And Lord, we need to have your wisdom and your understanding and to respond back in love and in truth and in wisdom. And that's what we're trying to do here today. So Lord, help us to come to your word with an open heart. And may your Holy Spirit be our teacher and guide. And we'll give you the praise for all that you can do and will do. In Christ's name, amen. The source of sin is the heart of mankind. This includes every one of us, even the quiet and the nice ones. It's true. Sometimes the quiet and nice ones are the sneakiest. Now, the reason we continue to sin, even though we know the judgment of God, is because the thought and concept of God does not scare us. Psalm 36:1, you're going to remember some of these things, but I'm going to put all them back in perspective. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs 1:25 says, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. All the facts, if we're willing to see them for what they are in creation itself that declares His glory, tells us there's a God. We refuse to believe it. He says, they would none of my counsel, they despise, look down on all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth to me will dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. And we have, and I've mentioned, we as a society have failed to transfer truth to the last few generations the way it's needed to be done. And let me say again, let me qualify. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. And I think that she thought the first one, because he said that from her seed is going to crush the serpent's head. And so she had Cain. Well, it turned out to be. Don't trust in man. Cain ended up being a murderer. Killed his brother Abel. Why? Because his brother Abel did right. That's why Cain killed his brother. Man is not our answer. And they both came from the same family. And they both had the same upbringing from the same parents. And one did all right, one didn't. So I understand that that is a relevant point to make when you say, well, the society has gone bad here, society has gone bad there. But in general, we have failed to get it transferred, the truths of the Word of God. I've given several messages on this topic, but had not given the complete cure, and then the Bible coverage came, and Palm Sunday, and Easter, and so I want to finish this and move on. The problem is, as a whole, we, as the church, grand church, so to speak, and we as a particular church of Lighthouse Baptist, we could be doing more to take steps toward the cure. And if we do not, the situation is going to become worse. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." That's the first thing that needs to happen. And then it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine," that's what's right, "for reproof," that's what's not right, "for correction," that's how to get right, "for instruction in righteousness," how to stay right, "that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, the world is out of control because the passions and the lusts of men are not being controlled. What is happening is that we have been raising children without a fear of God, and those generations are coming of age. Number one, just to review, I'll give you the real number one here in a moment. Man is born a sinner. Remember that. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The heart of man is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" But then it goes on and says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." The first man born of woman was a murderer. Second thought, a sinner left to himself will sin. Don't raise your hand, but every single one of us, I can guarantee, can testify that there's been a time in your life when you thought no one was looking and you did something that you shouldn't have done. Because no one was looking over your shoulder. We forgot that God was. And by the way, his opinion matters a whole lot more than anybody else's opinion. So first of all, man is born a sinner, and a sinner left to himself will sin, because sin comes from the heart of man. Secondly, we had sinners that do not fear God do not obey God. These are thoughts we've established before. Sinners that do not fear God do not obey God. "Transgression of the wicked say within my heart, there's no fear of God before their eyes." Fact is, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. Children, there are children committing many of these atrocities that we have in our country. Because why? Because from one generation didn't get it transferred the way they should have. Now that generation didn't get it transferred even many as good as that one was. And now we've got generations coming up that doesn't know God. It's kind of like in Genesis when it talks about Joseph. Listen, Joseph was a second right-hand man of Pharaoh in Egypt. And then it says, "Then there raised up Pharaohs who knew not Joseph." And they didn't give a hoot who Joseph was. They didn't give a hoot who the Israelites were. They didn't care. Why? They didn't know who they were, because they had not been passed on who Joseph is. Same thing goes here. We haven't passed on who God is. In fact, we have. This is going to sound weird, but I'm not against technology. But we are so consumed with technology that we have failed to go out in the dark and look up in the sky and see the stars and see the magnificence of God's creation, because they declare the glory of God. We live in such a virtual reality. They live on the telephone, and they live on games, and they live on this and that. They never even have time to look up and say there is a God. And they're lost in this life of technology, and that becomes a reality, and so they have no fear of God. Listen, if we do not raise our children to fear God, listen to me. If we do not raise our children to fear God, we will eventually fear our children. If we don't raise them to fear God, we will fear our children, because, listen, unless they are actually controlled by a power without, as you've heard that quote, or a power within, either by the strong arm of man or by the word of God, either by the Bible, and as he said then, or the bayonet. And the fact is, I'm not against necessarily these teens trying to stand up. You know, I'm not sure what everything they're standing for is where it's got everything proper. The proof of all these rallies that are going on, led by the teachers or led by the students, how many they got out there? You know what that proves? That generation could rise up and take over. And overall, not to say there's not some good kids in there, but overall that generation has grown up without the fear of God. I've heard the old adage, you know, you better be nice to your kids, because they're going to choose your nursing home. Yeah? Well, you know what? We better raise our kids to fear God, or we're going to have to fear our children. There's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Psalm 30. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. John Adams said to the military in 1798, he warned his fellow countrymen at a speech to the military. He says, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. If what's inside them is not keeping them straight, we're not going to be able to keep a lid on this." So what do we do to eventually reverse this? We cannot wait for government, but the society changes what government says. Government will change with society. Our main goal should not be to change the government, though we need to be doing that. I was with Mike Creed. He's a pastor down in Clinton, Maryland, about 11 miles from the Washington, D.C. Capitol. And they have several times where they get right down there, right amongst the Capitol, making contact with our politicians. And trying to do whatever they can to make a change. We should do that. But our main goal should not be to change government, but to change the hearts of the people. The members of our society must become new creations in Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 says, "And such were some of you." Now give the whole list. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." That's homosexuality. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but are washed, but are you sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of our God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," 2 Corinthians 5 says. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The fact is, I was going to say this a second ago, because it was in the same list. We talk about murders, but somehow adultery and fornication is okay. See, that all goes together. It's all a sin. I'm not against you. I'm not mad at you. I'm telling you, we need to realize that sin needs to be exceeding sinful in our heart. If we expect God to do something, sin must be seen as exceeding sinful. Not just say, "Well, that's the way they do these days." That is the way they do these days, and it's a wrong normal. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And just because it's the way it's supposed to be, God didn't take that and rip it out of his book and say, well, we're not going to count that anymore. Am I perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. Let's not justify sin. But we justify this when we say, well, you know, who am I to judge? So guess they can do what they want. Well, who am I to judge? Well, I guess, well, I'm not here to judge either. But we stop proclaiming the word of God, we're going to have a problem. We're all going to be down in the muck and the mire of the mess. We cannot continue to do that. What we need here is not a fix. We need a cure. Flesh cannot overcome flesh. What we're looking at is a job for the Holy Spirit of God. We must be saturated with the word of God. Well, how are you going to do that? It's been done before. If we rise up, by the way, we aren't the ones who do it. We may be the vehicles to take it. We may be the ones who actually get the brunt the opposition. We may get the brunt of the opposition. Or may we feel it, but the fact is, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We don't have to fight this battle alone. Now, I started this some weeks ago, and I said, what we need to do, and by the way, the world is doing, old Satan is a sly guy. And Jesus says sometimes the world's smarter about things than we are. They knew where they're going, they knew what they're trying to accomplish, and they knew how to do it. And you know where they start? With the kids. We are filling our kids up with wickedness. And we say, well, it's okay. I'm sorry. You can say whatever you want. Okay. I have a preacher buddy who's out in Western Maryland. I'm not saying right or wrong here, just the way, it's kind of the way it was. He's a hunter out there. They just love to hunt. And he says, out there we have a saying, if it's brown, it's down. You know? It looks like dinner. All right? And that's just the way they are. Now, some people say, oh, no, that's not sportsmanlike. Well, the fact is, the Lord put the animals on it. He said, take and eat. Call not unclean. So it's okay to do it. But let's don't just shoot things and leave them laid down dead and rot either. You know what I'm saying? But the fact is, that's the way he saw it. If it's brown, it's down. And that's the way they grew up. That's just normal. It's just normal. Now you get to some other folks. Well, no, you can't do any of that. You don't shoot. You can't do that. And because it's what they've grown up with. Now, fact is, we need to be training our children the things of God when they're little. See, he grew up that way. That's just the way you think. I grew up a certain way. You grew up a certain way. The world has decided they're going to get the minds and the hearts of our kids at the very bottom. And you say, well, what are we going to do? We need to get their hearts before the world hardens them to the word of God. Now, we need to get all of us too, as many as we can. But we need, if our society is going to survive, we've got to start with these generations. In 20 years, some of these kids are going to be having kids of their own. Who's going to raise those kids? No, I won't say that. That's just me. I don't want to hurt anybody. Somebody needs to be able to be ready to raise those kids. So number one, we need to train our children. This is new. This is our stuff. We need to train children. If the law was in their hearts, we would not need the law to be enforced. 1 Timothy 1 says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves of mankind, for manstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and for there be any other thing is contrary to sound doctrine. He says, that's why we have to have a law. Why do we have to have all these laws? Because people won't do what they're supposed to do on their own. Why do we have locks on every car and every house and everything else? Because somebody's going to walk off with them. I remember going out of town, and I remember the first time I saw somebody that had a bicycle lock. I said, what do you need a bicycle lock for? No one's going to take your bike. Well, they had one because I had a pretty little thing. It was cool, you know, wouldn't put it on there. But then when I heard my buddy's bicycle got stolen, I got a bicycle lock. Why you need all that? Because people are sinners.
And the fact is, if there's not a certain element of restraint from within the hearts of our people, if that's just let loose, oh my soul, what will we have? We still have a large majority of people who have some sense and integrity. But what about the next generation? And a generation after that who doesn't know how to teach that generation. And they won't know how to teach the next generation. We're going to lose what we have. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And that word train means to narrow, to dedicate, to initiate, to discipline, to limit their options, to initiate actions rather than just following the children. Children are training the parents. How do you do that? Well, I'm so smart because I know how to do it. You get a new phone, you got to have your grandkids over to teach you how to use the thing, you know? But that doesn't mean they're wise. Now, let me say something about training. Several aspects. Some of you have heard me say this. You'll say, well, that's a liar. God's a liar because I trained my child in the way it should go, and he did depart from it. All right. Listen, there's a principle in here that's used. First of all, you got the Cain and Abel thing. Are they willing to be trained? You get a child trained, then they're trained. But if they're not willing to be trained, they're hard-headed, they're proud, they're stubborn, they won't listen. You can only do so much with that. And there are people like that. And I hate to say it, it may be some of our kids. And it may break your heart. And maybe not a thing you could have done about it. But chances are we weren't necessarily the perfect parents either. So first of all, we have to train. Train is not yelling. Train is not raising the roof every time they do something wrong. Training is not waiting for them to do something wrong and then you pounce on them. Training is having enough foresight to say, my little child, that precious little angel, is a dirty, rotten sinner. And I've got to have to train this boy now. In fact, we start training them before they get into that stage of life. You start training your girls to be pure when they're 5 and 6. You don't get in all the stuff. You just train them the right way. You give them enough fatherly love that they're not out there looking for some kind of other masculine affection. Are they going to be perfect? Probably not. I don't know what all went on in my teenage girl's life when they were teenagers, and I'm sure there's some things I shouldn't have known. I mean, I should have known and I didn't know. I'm sure. Same thing happened to my parents. Probably the same thing happened to your parents. Some things went on that shouldn't have gone on. However, if we do the training the right way, we're going to get more done. We're going to be a whole lot further down the road than we would be if we did nothing. They're just like us. There's some times they say, you know, I probably shouldn't do that. And there was probably sometimes fear of mom and dad finding out. And there's sometimes I think as I grew up, there's probably a little bit of fear of God. God didn't want me to do that. But we've got to train them. And you put that in there. But watch, how do you train? You do it with them. Listen, a good Christian life is caught better than taught. This is the way we do it. Because this is what we do. And you start that right now. But listen, it blesses my heart. We got some young couples, and I'm going to pick on them. Billy and Sarah Reynolds were here. Willie's how old? 1. And Lillian is a month, less than that, 2 weeks. And I saw them come in here for Sunday school. Now, if you've raised kids, you got to do that on purpose. You got to do that on purpose. And you know what happens? And look, here's another couple here. You got the Keeners here. Here they are. They got how many kids you got? Four. Keep coming. Anyway, and you got a little one here with what, a month and a half old? Two months old. And what's going to happen? These kids are going to wake up, and sometimes they're going to see the ceiling that comes that's in over here in this room, and sometimes they're going to see the one in their room at home. And they're just as comfortable with both of them. Sometimes mom is the one I said wakes them up. Sometimes it's just this other lady that wakes me up. They don't know. They're getting trained. They're becoming accustomed to living a Christian life. And if you're consistent with that, which, oh, well, it doesn't matter this week. Well, it doesn't matter this week. Let's not do it. You know what? We're still training them. If you train them in the things of, he didn't say, he said, you train up a child in the way he should go. He said, in the way he should go, he should not depart. You train up a child in the way he shouldn't go, he's still not going to depart. Unless God intervenes. Number two, we've got to train. Number two, I'm going to not finish again. Teach the word of God. Teach the word of God. I read all scriptures given by inspiration of God, a prophet for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I read all that last time. He says, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord, our God, of our good always, that he might preserve us alive. We're supposed to, he says in Deuteronomy 6, he says, teach these to your children, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, pass it down, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, when shalt thou bind them for a sign upon thine hand? And they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and on thy gates. And beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. We better beware. Teach the word of God. That's for us. Besides that, it's for our children. We need to teach our children. Read the book. Well, I don't know. I remember being a first-year school teacher. You're one day ahead of the kids. I mean, you know the material. You've read it through. You've covered it, but you're one day ahead of the kids. Next year, you got it kind of down. You did it a few times. It's all starting to come along. Listen, your kids should be at a point where they say, oh, my soul, you're going to quote another Bible verse. Talk like this, all of a sudden, throw the Bible at me. Well, don't throw it out, but offer it to them. It ought to be part of who you are. We need to teach our children to fear the Lord again. Need to teach them. Now, this is where I'm going to spend the rest of our time here. This is tough. If we're supposed to train our children, we are supposed to teach them the Word of God. But the Bible says when we raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, there's teaching. The word nurture actually means to chasten. We need to discipline our children. That's something that has gone out the door. And our society The Council of Psychiatrists and Psychology and all this has determined that we're doing damage. That's because maybe their parents didn't do well, but they were proud. They didn't want to be told what to do either. Well, I'm going to be nice to my kids. I'm not going to tell them what to do. We'll let them decide for themselves. Rule number one, the heart of man is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Out of the heart of man proceeds murders and fornication and adultery. See, we're starting on the wrong premise. See, those people are foolish enough to think that they're fine just like they are. Well, sure they are. They're comparing truth to their own truth. I'm right. Everybody's right in their own eyes. But an honest man's hard to find. And we think, well, this is right. And the fact is, it's not right. And by the way, don't discipline and don't train them on just your preferences. You train them on the truth of the Word of God. That's the truth. Listen, you train them to do right, even if it steps on your own toes, and you've got to change some things. Change them. You're the head of the house. You know what leaders do? They do it first. Every kid who's ever played follow the leader knows what the leader is. The leader is the one who does it first. So if you want a good home the way it's supposed to be, you need to be the good parent. You do it first. Grow up and take responsibility. That's what we need to do. Now listen, We are losing our nation because we have neglected our God, but also because we have neglected to discipline our children. In 1 Samuel 3, it says, and this Eli was the high priest, and he had a couple sons, and they were a mess. And people were bringing the altar, and they said, well, I don't want that. I want the good part. And they were taking it home and eating it. The ladies were coming there and said, oh, you're kind of good looking here. Let's find a little spot back here in the corner. And that's what was going on at the church, if you will, at the time. Now, this is what the Lord said. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. There was a, your ears burn. I was talking about you. He said, it's going to make their ears tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli, the high priest, all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. I'm going to start a job and I'm going to finish it. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. He didn't tell them no. Parents are scared to tell their kids no, especially in public. What's going to happen? Because the kid's going to throw a tantrum. Well, wait a minute. That didn't start yesterday. Well, they're too little to understand. No, they're not. You'd be surprised how much little kids can understand. They can know whether it's right or wrong. Children must be disciplined. Proverbs 22:15. I don't know whether you want to write any of these down. It's up to you. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes at the right time. Proverbs 22:33, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That's, you know what? Many parents are trying to buy their children's affection. Wrong, 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 wrong. That's what grandparents are for. Wrong, 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 wrong. I've seen grandparents destroy the relationship between the children and the parents. Because the parents said no, and the grandparents says, well, I don't think it's so bad, and gave it anyway. Wrong, 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 and I are a grandparent and want to do it. But I tell you why I don't. I love those kids too much. I've already seen them, I mean, they're little, and I've already said, well, you do what your mommy says. You do what daddy says. Whether I agree with mommy or daddy or not, but you know, I don't know when I haven't. But whether I do or whether I don't, if they're not running them into sin, then I need to let them do what they want to do, even if it's not quite the way I would do it, because I am teaching them. How many times in these lists of murders and fornication it says disobedient to parents? That's where it starts. That's where it starts. I've seen churches who want to have kids come in on the buses, and they want to get them baptized, so they just said, well, mom won't let me, we'll just do it anyway, we just won't tell them. Wrong, 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 wrong. Well, they ought to be baptized. Listen, we don't own those kids. We get mom and dad's permission. We have a permission slip we signed that says that they're allowed to get baptized. We have a permission slip that says they're allowed to ride our bus. And why do you go through that? Because the fact is, those parents are responsible for those kids. Well, this is better. No. You know what? It doesn't say murderers and those who are not willing to be baptized. It says murderers and whoremongers and adulterers and so forth and disobedient to parents. I am not going to help them learn to be, train them to be disobedient to their parents. If we do not raise our children to fear God, we will raise angry children who think the world owes them a living. How serious does God think this is? You ready for this? Deuteronomy 21. Now, I know this is the age of the law, the laws that teach us what really should happen. Then we have grace. Watch. Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and under the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And I hate to even ask how many of us have children who resemble this description. And all men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, God's not saying we're supposed to stone our kids now. That's the law. Only by grace, though, don't we? Because he said we need to put evil out of here. We coddle our kids and enable them to continue their sin. We're not helping them or society. Discipline, next. Discipline includes both loving instruction and loving correction. When our children falter, we must lovingly but unmistakably correct them. That is part of training. 2 Timothy says this in chapter 4. I charge ye therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's how we teach our kids. We reprove, we rebuke, we exhort, encourage them with all longsuffering over and over and over and over and over and over again. And doctrine, truth. This is truth. Why don't we do this, Daddy? Because this is truth. We're supposed to have the Word of God in our heart, and then we're supposed to teach them to the next generations. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now everybody's about ready to go, say, oh my soul, you're not going to put that on the internet. They're going to come and lock up the preacher. And who knows, they might. But watch me. We're not taking a stick and out of anger and retaliation, beat the kid. That's not what we're talking about. I think God has put a soft spot on the lower part of their body that should be used. And they should be used early. But the fact is, there's so much other padding on there about that time. All they know is that mommy and daddy's not happy with me. Now, I'm not talking about beating an infant. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. But there may be times you say, no, you don't need to beat them black and blue. But I'll tell you this, you got a teenage boy who's rebellious, I'd rather beat his butt black and blue than have him stoned out in the street. Now, I don't think I ever beat my kids once they were that age. How were you? You were probably the oldest one. And Mills, you remember it? How old were you? 12. You remember it? Now I'm not here. I as a good man who says don't break their spirit, break their will. And we don't want to break their spirit. I really don't want to break their will either. I want to redirect their will. Okay? Now, I think that's what he meant. In other words, let the will be of the parents and be of the Lord. But we need to, I don't want to lose their determination. Talk about a determined girl. But if they're pointing the wrong direction, you got big problems. But when they're pointing in a good direction, the Lord does great things. Happy is a man whose quiver is full of them. Headed in the right direction. But when they got a bend on it, they'll come back around and get you. You know, that's no fun. But it takes time to train. What if they won't listen? What if they won't listen? If a child will not accept correction when it is given in a kind way, they may have to be corrected in an uncomfortable way. Not here to beat them, but make it uncomfortable. And you know what? Different kids are different. I never paddled you a lot. In fact, when you were little, all I had to do was just look at you strange, and you got all upset. But then she turned 12. You've had teenagers too, right? Yeah, boy. They think they got it all figured out. You go back and read Proverbs, talks about the young man, the man who's got it all, got the world on the string. Listen, either way, it is done in obvious love, but unswerving and uncompromising. And you have to win. Proverbs 22:50, I already said it. Foolish is bound the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Ready for this one? Proverbs 20:30. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the body, belly. Now, wait a minute. Corporal punishment is not the answer to everything. In fact, my guess is there was a whole history before we ever got to this point. I don't remember what it all was, and you don't have to confess your sins right now. But she remembers. Huh. She remembers. And she may not have agreed, but she probably didn't do it again, at least not where I could see it. That's it. Never again. Did it work? It worked. And by the way, when she was 16 years old, and you were about 17, or maybe you were 15 or something, we were at West Manchester Mall down here. I don't know what we were doing in there, but we went in there, and the crew girls were in there, and one grabbed one arm, and one grabbed the other arm, and drug me into the shoe store. No, one grabbed one arm, one grabbed the other arm, and we walked down the mall while there was other teenagers around. They were there with mom. Oh, well, excuse me, they were there with dad. Mommy wasn't even there. But 4 years earlier, I was smacking her butt. Now, wait a minute. If all you do is go around smacking people, that doesn't do any good. But when someone she knows that loves her, he gives his life for her, is that upset? And wants to train her and going in the right direction, it's going to have a different impact. What if they scorn the truth? It can get difficult. Proverbs 21:24, proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. That's kind of what that day was that day, wasn't it? Yeah. She was determined. I could see her. And she wasn't even going to cry. I mean, I could have beat her till she was bloody. She wasn't going to cry. She wasn't. And I wouldn't have done that. But she wasn't going to give in. Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is abomination to man. Smite a scorner, and a simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. I remember, was it Esther, or was it Sterl, or Nathan? I remember one time I was paddling somebody, and you walked around the corner, and you saw me doing it, and she always sucked these two fingers. I mean, the symbol was being made wise. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Sometimes isolation is necessary. Cast out the scorner, and contention will go out. Yea, strife and reproach will cease. Sometimes you say, well, okay, you're not going along with us. You're going to stay here. Sometimes you've got to do that. You say, well, that's hard. That's just me. He that spareth the rod hateth his child, because his child's not going to be ready to be a profitable citizen. If you love that child, listen, I tell our kids at the school, I said, when we get done here, sometimes you can think our rules are crazy. I said, we love you, and our goal is for you to be the best citizens out there. When they say someone came, in fact, listen, we had some of our kids go out and get jobs in local places, and they called us up and said, do you have any more kids from our school? I have a witness bright and clear since I have been redeemed. Discipline is best for all concerned. We need to do our best to teach them that God loves them. By the way, a lot of Adults don't know that. All you're doing is running around correcting everybody. That doesn't do a thing. It just makes them mad. Grievous words still stir up angers. Soft answer turns away wrath. But that doesn't mean you don't need to stand firm where you're supposed to stand. Some folks have never experienced love themselves. Some of these kids don't, you know, and some of these families, they don't know what love is. But wait a minute, love corrects. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of the correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father, the son, in whom he delighteth. The Bible says that he that's exercised by that chastening will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12, have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. The rod and reproof will give wisdom, but a child left to himself, Proverbs 29, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And the next verse says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. If we don't do this, we're going to perish. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. If we love them, we're going to do these things. This is the way we are to deal with the children that come to this church from someplace else. We correct them, we stand strong, but we love them. Love every single one of them. They may not think we do, but we do. They haven't all grown up in the same type of situation. Some of them have. Now let me bring us all down here to a close. The source of violence is man, because man is the source of sin. Man who is a sinner will sin if he has no fear of God. Man has no fear of God because he was not taught to have a fear of God, because we took God out of his life. Atheists think you can have morality without God. Whose morality? I'll tell you whose morality. The ones that think aborting a baby is more merciful than allowing him to live. To stop the sin, we must instill a fear of God into the hearts of the people. Of course, we got to do everything we can to get them saved. Let's make them a new creation. But the best time to teach the fear of God is when someone is still a child. It may take a while. But if we will increase our efforts in the power of God, the Lord can do mighty things in a generation or two. We've lost it in the last couple generations. We can regain it in the next couple generations. We are the church, the body of Christ. We need to lead the way. We're supposed to preach the gospel, baptizing, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever have commanded you. Take responsibility for our church. Well, this is so many. What difference is it going to make? So that little boy was along the seashore, and had been, for some reason, a whole masses of starfish had washed up on the seashore. And this little boy was taking the starfish, and he was throwing them back in the water. He was taking another one. This old cynical man came around here and said, "Boy, what you doing?" He says, "I'm putting the starfish back in there before they die." "Oh, look how many you got. You're not going to be able to make a difference." The little boy picked up another one, threw it in there, and said, "Made a difference to him." It might even make a little difference in our little area. I'll take it. That means I get to stand before God and say, we did what we could do within the realm you gave us. We need to take responsibility for our children. Encourage our grandchildren the things of God in word, and even more so in deed, as much as we can. We need to start with our own lives, learn the word of God, and live by the word of God. We need to help with young families in our area. Help train the children in our area through the programs already established in our church or CEF or something. Good News Club. Do something.
God can and will make a difference if we will allow God to use us. The answer to our violent society is the fear of God. The fear of God comes from knowing God. And if our society was full of people that loved instead of hate, we would be in good shape. And who loves? Love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God, saved and knoweth God. The church, the saved people, need to go back and do what we should have been doing all along. We're not off the hook just because we refuse to be a member of a local church, by the way. Actually, you're violating two commands. You ought to go ahead and become part of the church. But anyway, we have the cure, and we will answer to God if we do not use it. I'm done. We'll do something next week. So. But don't throw it away. Striving together. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It will make a difference if we'll do it. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Been long wanting to get finished with this today, but Lord, let us not forget it. May we live because of it. May we take steps to do what we're supposed to do. We need you. Heads are bowed.